from Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California. This is the Beer of the Day Podcast. Tonight's show is Clown Shoes Day, and we have seven different beers to try from Clown Shoes from Ipswich, Massachusetts. And joining us tonight from Huntington Beach is Filthy Phil Thomas, the West Coast ambassador for Clown Shoes. I'm Dallas Helliker. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, Brandon Hofer, Steve Williamson. Hey guys.
What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, full house tonight.
It is.
How's it going? I'm here too.
Hey Jeff, I forgot you. Did I not say it?
That's okay.
Man. There's so many people that I forgot forgot Jeff.
You guys really know how to party over there.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
So right when we kick off the show, generally we talk about any interesting beers we had this week. Anybody have one?
I had one. Yeah. So I finally got to try the Goose Island Bourbon County barrel aged stout, which was delicious. I think, you know, a lot of people have had it. It's big time in the bourbon barrel aged stout world. I thought it was phenomenal. I had never had it before. Andy kind of gave me a heads up that it was a little boozy right now, and it was boozy for sure. It's 14.3%. But it was so tasty. All the like chocolate, vanilla, salted caramel. I thought it was very good, and I got a couple extra bottles. I'm going to age it. I think if I lay it down for, you know, 6 months or a year or two, it'll be really good. So very nice beer.
Let us know when you crack it open. We'll come visit.
Perfect.
I had a couple. They had a Ballast Point tap takeover, and it seemed to be the beers that they had were the fruity versions of them. They had the Watermelon Dorado, which is their double IPA. It tasted like regular Dorado with Jolly Rancher soaked in it for a while. So I wasn't a big fan of that one. The mango version of their Session IPA was so over-the-top mango, it was a little tough. The one I liked the best was the Pineapple Sculpin. I liked it actually better than the Grapefruit Sculpin, which everyone is a huge fan of. So that was the one that I took away as being good. So in the stores right now, there's tons of those different fruity Ballast Point beers, and I think you can save yourself some trouble and just go with the pineapple one or the original. All right, well, it's Clown Shoe Show, and we have seven different beers to try. We are joined by Phil Thomas. Hi, Phil.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Doing well.
And young lady.
Hello.
She's not young. Don't let her fool you.
Poor lady.
Hey.
Just kidding.
Whoa. What show am I on?
So first beer of the day is Clementine. This is their white ale.
That's correct.
6%. And you want to tell us a little about this beer?
So Clementine is basically, up until this year, this has been our lightest beer that we have in our line. It's in our core lineup. It's a Belgian wit style. So it's got the cracked white wheat in there. It's got Belgian yeast. It's Chambly yeast from Unibrow. So it's got the cracked white wheat. It's got a little coriander and a little bit of orange zest in there. Super easy drinking. Super small beer, just like an all-dayer for us. At Clown Shoes, we do a semi-high ABV beer. So sometimes, you know, we got to kick it down a little bit. Now we have a Mango Kolsch that we've introduced into our year lineup. So that'll be like 5% around there. So this will no longer be our smallest beer. And this is also going into six packs instead of four packs. So the consumer is going to get better bang for their buck this year.
Nice.
Did you say Grapefruit Kolsch or Mango Kolsch?
It's a Mango Kolsch we actually have.
I'm looking forward
to
that.
That came out last spring and it sold really well. We sold it at a lot of yard houses. So a lot of the consumer market didn't get a lot of it. There were bombers of it. So we made it into a six pack, and that'll be year round. So that'll be coming out probably next month. So
this one pours it's like a champagne look to it. And mine's got a lot of head and a lot of bubbles going on.
Yeah, fine bubbles.
It's definitely got some effervescence to it. As you can tell, it's got a light malt bill. It's, you know, the yeast kind of is the star of the show, along with a little bit of the coriander and the orange zest. But, you know, the Chambly yeast really sets this beer off.
Yeah, that coriander and orange zest is definitely coming through on the nose.
Yep.
And very pleasant fragrance there.
I think it's a little tart on the finish, too. It's not a lot of it, but to me, this is a pretty fruity beer. I definitely get like some clove and coriander and orange peel, but I like the finish because it has kind of this lingering tartness.
Yeah, the Belgian yeast is going to lend itself to somewhat of like farmhouse, you know, barnyard characteristics. And some people will get tartness depending on how refined their, you know, the palate is. People can pick up on a lot of different, you know, dynamics.
Definitely. All right.
I'm drinking the same beer along with you, just so you guys know. So
nice.
Cheers, guys.
So, Phil, you've been with Clown Shoes for 2 years?
About a little over 2 years. I started off just doing an event. I actually used to do a beer show myself back in the days. I won't name it. And I interviewed Clown Shoes. I was one of the first people to get their beer when it came to the market in California. They answered the phone when I called. That's, you know, same thing here. We, you know, this is what we do. And very much like yourself. So I started off with the show, interviewed them, made some jokes back and forth. Eventually, they needed someone to pour some beer. Got a stack of cards, followed up, and now I have a job. And I have a beer with my face on it called Photos for Phil. So
that's awesome.
Things are looking up this year.
I'm just trying to figure out who this tramp stamp person is.
That wasn't you, was it?
We're going to get into, when you guys get to that beer, we'll definitely get into the story. Oh.
Yeah.
Some of these beers, we got a lot of changes this year. We're a company that's kind of in transition. We hit our sixth year, 13,000 barrels. We've upgraded to gypsy status, which I don't know if you guys understand the difference between contract and gypsy. Before, we were contract brewing, even though we did brew our beer. We also used help at Ipswich Brewing or Mercury Brewing. And now we actually have our brewer only work on their systems. And so we use three different systems now. We're using Mercury still. We also are going to be using Schmaltz. And then we're also going to be using Stony Creek, which is also in Massachusetts. They make some great IPAs. That's how we're going to come out with some cans this year. So.
Oh, cool. So how does that come about where when you're just starting out, is it just easier to brew at someone else's location when you're just super small?
I mean, I don't know if you know the history of how we started out. Our owner basically submitted a name for a beer to Beer Advocate for a contest. He didn't crack the top five. He felt personally offended, even though thousands of people entered. And that's just the kind of guy he is. And he got an email back that kind of had some words in it that were kind of not that nice, but Clown Shoes was thrown around. And I don't know if you guys seen Jane and Silent Bob at all.
Yeah. Been a while, but yeah.
Yeah, so it was thrown around in that term. Your buddy is a, you know, shoe. I'm not going to cuss. So long story short, he was like, you know what? He was driving down the street and he was like, you know what? I can make this beer. He started, you know, just make a beer. And that would be funny. And he started off as a joke. And this was $8,000. And this is, you know, 6 years ago almost. Well, 5 years ago. Technically, we're on our sixth year. But so he basically started this off just as kind of like a, I could do that, man. That's messed up. And here we are, you know what I mean? Drinking beers.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, I like this beer a lot. I enjoy it. It's, I mean, we can always talk about like how we, you know, rate a beer, but this is something I would definitely come back to. I like the style. I like how easy it is to drink, and I like the good mouthfeel on it as well.
You could drink this beer all day.
Yeah.
All day
definitely.
Long.
Definitely. And this is, we're recording this on the 6th of February. The Super Bowl's tomorrow. This is a good football beer. You know,
absolutely.
You could drink this and, you know, probably drink a lot of it all day long and be okay.
Still make it to Monday.
That's right. All right. Well, let's get into the next one. We have Tramp Stamp Belgian IPA. This is 7%. We're kicking it up one notch.
Get that one out of my cooler over here. I got a little cooler next to my setup here for you guys. That way I was prepared and ready to go.
Keep them all handy there right by you.
I'm actually more prepared for your show than I was on my own.
So this is a little bit darker in color, more orangish, I would say.
So Tramp Stamp is basically our version of a Belgian single IPA. You know, 7%. You know, the malt bill is going to be a little more East Coast, still hoppy. I believe the hops are, don't always remember everything off the top of my head because there's a lot to take in. But we have Columbus, Amarillo, and Centennial hops in this one. It's the same yeast, so this is also the Chambly yeast. So you're going to get that earthy, that barnyard characteristic, but you're going to get the sweet roast or sweet malts because there's a little crystal malt in there. And then you're also going to get the bitterness because it is hoppy. So
I get kind of an apricot aroma. There's kind of a that type of fruit aroma to it.
Yeah, I'm getting that too.
Smells good.
I get that, but I also get a lot of melon. I don't know what kind of melon, but a lot of melon aroma.
I can see that, dude.
Hey, Phil. So who's the chick?
So the chick is probably just made up, honestly. I'm not going to lie. We had a female artist at this time that made this when we had this beer. We are actually drinking some of the last of this beer. So Muffin Top. Two of the beers you guys are drinking, well, three of the beers tonight are actually getting metamorphosed, you know. So we are growing up as a company, and every year we keep ending up on this misogynistic beer list for our labels, for Muffin Top and Tramp Stamp specifically.
Yeah, we read
Muffin
that article.
Muffin Top has a dude on it, so that, I mean, it's a dude and a woman.
Right.
But Tramp Stamp, you know, that was an actual thing that has went on in life, so it was like more of a statement than it was misogynistic to us. Always it was a joke, and so it was more of a phenomenon. And so basically Muffin Top and Tramp Stamp are going to meet in the middle. It's going to be called American Monastic, and it's going to be a 9% Belgian IPA. The malt bill is going to be a little bit cleaner than this, and it's going to be a little more bitter, but still going to have that same funky yeast. So we're going to step it up this year.
So it's going to kind of merge with Muffin Top and become something in the middle.
Correct. And this will be on draft, and it'll be in four packs all around, starting probably next week. The truck leaves on Monday, so I'd say by Friday in Southern California we'll have it. NorCal the week after.
Wow.
The rest of America already has it on the East Coast. All our other states probably have it because we're the last ones to get everything.
Well, I mean, you say that, but at 13,000 barrels, the fact that we get all this Clown Shoes beer in California isn't that normal. You know, we don't get a lot of East Coast beer.
I know what you're saying. It's the whole thing is for our company, and this is the same question, you know, when I interviewed him, I was like, wow, like you guys are coming all the way out to California. You guys are pretty small. And this is before 13,000 barrels.
Right.
Reason is really it's a law of numbers. You know, like California, we have more people, right?
Right.
We have way more educated beer drinkers, I would say, especially in the last few years. So it just makes sense to be in this market. Same thing with Texas. Texas is really coming up. The beer scene is amazing. I mean, I myself just got back from San Francisco Beer Week last week. I don't know if any of you guys made it out to anything out there, but that was out of control.
Yeah. A lot of, I mean, we're getting to that season where, I mean, like Sacramento Beer Week is going to be in a couple weeks. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's great that we get these beers out here because there's very few from the East Coast that we can get regularly. And you go to Total Wine & More here and, you know, all these beers I got there, you know, they had, I mean, there's two more that we're not even doing here today. They had nine there, which is crazy.
Yep.
You know, but I feel like I've been able to, like, I've seen Clown Shoes around California for several years. I don't know, Phil, if you know how long it's been available here, but I feel like, we're used to getting California beers and Oregon beers, not a lot of East Coast beers, but I feel like Clown Shoes is one brewery that I've been seeing around for a few years at least.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I've been out here for 3 years, and I would say, you know, I'm only one person. I'm out on the streets all the time. You know, I travel all through California, all through Texas. I do a lot of work. But, you know, to our credit, we have a good distributor, Wine Warehouse. They do a great job. The reps are educated. They have beer reps specifically that do a great job, especially in Northern California and like Hollywood, San Diego, all these different areas. Whereas some of these other East Coast beers, they come out here and they pick the wrong distributor. And if you pick the wrong distributor, you get a lazy person and, you know, beer doesn't transfer quickly. Your freshness doesn't keep up. You get, you know, shelfies that are, you know, been there too long, all these different things. And I have to credit, you know, Wine Warehouse a lot for the way that they work the market in California.
That's an interesting point. I think that us as, you know, beer drinkers, we might not appreciate that fact of kind of what goes into getting the beer to us. And if there's a distributor, you know, we're drinking these beers every week on the podcast, judging the brewers of the quality of the beer they're making. And if someone else is dropping the ball along the way, you know, that could not be their fault. But.
And that's true, man. I'm going to be honest with you. It happens a lot. There's a lot of companies that I don't want to name because they're friends of mine, but they have the wrong distributor. And, I can't pick up their beer regularly because it's just not fresh. You know, I'm on the streets every day, you know.
It's true. I'd rather drink a fresh beer that I don't care as much for than a beer that I like that's been sitting there for 9 months or more.
And that's not the, you know, barrel aged beers or beers that can sit for a long time. You know, those are those. But IPAs, pale ales, you know, fresh ales that you want to drink, you know, in a timely period.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So let's get back to this beer real quick. I like this. It's not as Belgian-y as I expected. I don't have a lot of Belgian IPAs, but this is not quite as Belgian-y as I would have thought. But I really like the finish. It's pretty dry, and I think that kind of the hops accentuate the flavor profile, you know, in the finish because of the dryness.
I liked it too. And Brandon and I went out to a local brewery the other night. I won't name names, but we had a Belgian IPA there that was pretty harsh. It was not good at all. So when I saw we're having a Belgian IPA tonight, I wasn't really looking forward to it. But this is actually really good.
This one's much better.
And it happens to all of us.
And correct me if I'm wrong here. It's called Chambly yeast. Is that right?
Chambly. Yeah, this is from Unibrow also. So Unibrow, those folks do some good stuff. We've been using their yeast for a little while for our Belgian stuff. It's super solid. It ferments well, and it doesn't leave any like poor esters. I feel like the off flavors, you know, even if like something goes wrong, I've never, minimal bad off flavors. Let's just say that in general.
Do you guys get the melon or is it just me?
No, I do. I get it. It's kind of sweet though, right?
It's like cantaloupe, I would say more. Yeah, like
it's halfway between cantaloupe and honeydew as far as the sweetness.
Like really ripe.
It's a honeylope.
Ripe or like overly ripe.
Is that a thing?
That sounds delicious. Sign me up. I plant one in my backyard.
I may be way out in left field. I'm getting some of the dryness that Jeff was talking about, but I'm also getting like almost like a cayenne pepper bite on it, and then it's followed by a hoppy bitterness.
I don't really get that.
You're not getting that?
No. I get the farmhouse funk a little bit, and then you get the freshness.
I could see when you inhale, you might pick up like a little bit of a pepper quality, and that would be like more of a pepper than a habanero or anything, like black pepper more.
Yeah.
I would say something like that. So I get that totally.
And now let's get into the beer news of the day. So not a very busy week in beer news, but I guess every once in a while you have to have a slow week where no one got bought out by anybody else. there's an article in the Boston Herald about talking about craft beer, the term craft beer, and how maybe it's getting to the point where it's outliving its usefulness. And they're saying that, you know, there's this new generation of beer consumers that are coming of age and buying beer, and they are unaware of a time when you couldn't buy locally brewed IPAs or whatever. Like there was a time in our lives, if you're our age, where, you know, like when I was a kid and growing up, there was a very limited amount of craft beer,
right?
And it became this term craft, and now every beer that we buy is craft, you know. At a certain point, when are we going to start stop calling it craft, that?
Yeah. It's just beer now.
it's like wine. I mean, we don't say hoity-toity wine. It's just wine, you know. And you know, it's just like beer, you know, there's just available now, and we're so used to having craft beer that it can just be called beer now,
right? Because we're getting to the point where you don't have to like differentiate it from the Budweisers. You know, so the Super Bowl's tomorrow. Their Anheuser-Busch is coming out with a commercial that's again making fun of the craft beer, hoity-toity, snooty, whatever they want to call it.
I have seen that,
and it seems petty to me. So you'll see it tomorrow.
Yeah, they're not hurting yet.
Yeah, well, especially as they're buying up all these craft breweries.
Right. They're buying, whatever, 8 of them now, and then they'd make fun of them on the Super Bowl.
It's a little
even
hypocritical,
though,
isn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, Goose Island should tell them to go blank themselves.
I think it's kind of funny, though, that Dallas was browsing the beer aisles when he was like 5 years old before craft beer was a word.
I was waiting for the day, man.
That was a prodigy.
And then the other news was Pliny the Younger is out again, and man, they on the Sack Beer Enthusiast Facebook, they were posting the pictures of the lines. It was crazy. Every time that beer comes out, it's ridiculous the amount of people that line up for it.
Is it like one of those things where you do so you can say, oh, I had yes. that beer?
Yeah, yep. That's exactly what it is.
Have any of you guys had it yet?
No.
No.
Not the younger.
Not this year, but I've had it in the past.
So this year I haven't had it either, but I don't want to toot my own horn. I got lucky last year. I came back from San Francisco Beer Week after everyone was waiting in line, and I walked into Nausea's, and it just happened to be Flanny Day. And it was, you know, I liked it. It was decent and it's delicious, but I would drink Simtra. I'll be honest with you.
You just made a best friend.
Wow.
That is my favorite beer. And yeah, I've said that a long right time. Where wow. I love Simtra.
So we're some early on knee deep fans. I mean, early on.
Hey, Andrew's a personal friend of mine, dude. I love those dudes.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeremy also. Revision's going to be awesome, too. So
there's
room enough for everyone, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were playing golf up in Lincoln today, and I was hoping to get time to go to knee deep. You know, I had brought my growler just in case I could get some Simtra for the Super Bowl.
I was in last week, and I didn't get to get over there. I was so bummed. Trust me.
You're going to have to save that sound bite right there for every time something awesome happens.
Love
that's,
it.
Dude. That's right. Okay, well, next beer, we have Galactica IPA. 8%, 6 to 7 to now 8.
I've been looking forward to this.
We're climbing, dude. We're climbing. So a little bit about Galactica. It's a double IPA. Most people would consider this. Have you guys had Space Cake ever from us?
Yeah.
So Space Cake would be more considered our California style, as far as it does have like a little bit of honey malt, but it doesn't have any crystal malt in there. So it's clean malt bill. The Mosaic sets it off a little more bitter. This one would be considered an East Coast balanced IPA. It's got the Galaxy hops, which come from Australia. 8% again. So this was the one that got me like hooked on our IPAs. You know, I started off as a Chocolate Sombrero fan. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's funny you say that because the first beer I ever had was this beer from Clown Shoes.
Nice.
And we had it on, we were doing test podcast and Brandon had brought it in and we had never heard of Clown Shoes.
Just happened to see it in the interesting label.
And it really hit the spot. I mean, ever since then, I've tried pretty much everything I've ever seen from Clown Shoes, and I've not been disappointed.
This smells fantastic.
You said the honey in there. You mean that's definitely honey forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of sweet crystal malts in here. Not, you know, I would say that, you know, basically the malt bill on Space Cake is a little bit lighter, even though it has honey malt. This one is a little more sweeter on the nose. But it still has the good bitterness. And that 8%, I'm telling you, you don't smell it, you don't feel it until later on.
You'll feel it later.
Definitely not.
Later on.
Yeah, the first thing you think of, you know, it's not as piney as a lot of the West Coast IPAs that we get. It's,
hallelujah.
I think, much more balanced. And, you know, it's a really good IPA, or double IPA, as they said.
Well, it's a good point because it's a double IPA, it's 8%, but on the bottle it just says IPA. Is it just known to be a double IPA?
Well,
or
you know, after you get to like 7.5, you know, 8% is around when the double IPAs start, you know, right. What I mean? I don't even think Pliny, just the single Pliny, was that's like 7.5, right?
Yeah.
And that's a double IPA, right? Because Blind Pig's a single. True. So somewhere around like 7.5 to 8, it starts to become a double. I mean, we have triples and we have quad IPAs nowadays. I mean, I don't know if you guys have had, you guys are probably knee deep fans, so you probably had.
We've had all those.
Deranged, right?
Deranged and
Had a lot of triple Hopaholic, IPAs. Right?
It was Hopaholic. What?
Yeah. Hopaholic. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had a quadruple IPA. I don't know about anybody else, but I've had lots of triples.
Moylan's and both knee deep. There's Hop Crake and Hop Derange are both considered quad IPAs.
Dang. Oh, nice.
Hopperillo is a triple.
And Hopperillo
is a triple.
Hop Shortage is a double.
Yeah, I think so.
They just loaded it with hops.
It's like 10.2, right? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, I know, it's insane.
They have so many IPAs there. Anyway.
And, dude, there's some good IPAs in this world. I mean, we live in California. We're kind of blessed, right? We got hop water surrounding us. That's one of the reasons I enjoy working for an East Coast company myself as a California native, is like I bring something different to the table all the time. Our barrel age program is pretty strong, if you guys have had any of that too.
We have not.
So dude, not yet. I'm a well-known IPA hater. This is like well-documented that I just don't like them that much. But this one to me is, it's good. I would drink this.
Oh, I'm a East Coast IPA guy.
Yeah.
I've learned that. I don't like West Coast IPAs, but East Coast IPAs, I'm all for
it. It's a lot more, it's subtle, and I can appreciate the flavors because it's subtle.
Yeah, but the bitterness is nice, but not so overly hoppy.
I like the Galaxy hops. When I had this beer, this was the first beer with Galaxy hops that I had, and ever since then, I seek them out. Whenever I see one, I'll buy it and try it because it really serves the beer well.
I want to say there's like four on the market now too. That's what's crazy. There's like four other ones now.
I'd say there's like the perfect amount of sweetness in here to balance out the bitterness that it blends very well.
It certainly does. So for Space Cake, they're trying to set out to make a West Coast style IPA?
Well, isn't that necessarily a West Coast, but something a little more West Coast geared? Mike is actually on the cover. Mike Pettingill is like one of the first Clown Shoes employees and a family friend of the owners. Dude, super cool. So they made that beer. I would say the malt bill is cleaner than this as far as there's probably more two row. There's no crystal malt, I don't think, in Space Cake at all. Just a little bit of honey malt, two row, and some Pilsner. So it's pretty light malt bill. This one has more complex stuff. It has like a little bit more crystal malts in there, probably some crystal 24, I would say, crystal 40, and then also two row in the Pilsner malt. So it's just sweeter. This one is sweeter overall, I would say.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
On the finish, I mean, there's kind of a brown sugar finish to this, but I'm curious, like Steve or Britton, you guys like this. Is this maltier than what you're used to? Is that why you like it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love malty beers in general, mm-hmm. and I like the smell of hops, but I don't necessarily like the way that they taste when they're paired with like this overwhelming bitterness. And so for me, I can really appreciate this beer because it's like Steve said, it's well balanced. There's just enough sweetness to balance out that bitterness that I would drink this beer like all day. I could do it.
Dude, we're super humbled by that. That is awesome. Dan is going to go off. He's going to be stoked.
If she drank this beer all day, she'd be on the floor by noon.
You probably get through 2-4 packs because I bet you can drink. You seem like a drinker.
I can put a few away.
She's done her fair share.
A bunch of dudes like that, you can hang.
That's right. All right, we're going to take our quick break. When we come back, we have four more beers from Clown Shoes to try, including our Strange Brew segment, the Chocolate Sombrero. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. All right, if you enjoy this podcast and the Beer of the Day website and would like to help us out, you can do so by shopping on Amazon through the Beer of the Day website. All you have to do is go to beeroftheday.com, click the banner at the top of the site, or just go to amazon.beeroftheday.com, do your regular shopping. It doesn't cost you a single penny more, and we get a little kickback from Amazon based on what you spend. For example, just this week, somebody came and bought Rikagaku Assorted Colorless Dustless Chalk. 6 pieces. Dustless chalk. I wasn't aware
how does that work?
Existed.
I plan on outlining somebody's body.
Well, it cost them $4.17. We got 17 cents from it. And we're going to take that 17 cents and put it towards beer on a future podcast. So if you do your shopping through Beer of the Day, you help us out. The other way you can help us is to tell a friend about us. We are a fairly new podcast. This is only our 36th episode. And the more people that listen, the better it is for everybody. So send them the link to the podcast, or if they, show them how to put the app on their phone, and then they can subscribe to the Beer of the Day podcast as well. All right, let's get back into the next Clown Shoes beer. Welcome back to the show, Strange Brew segment. This is where we find the strangest beer that we can find that fits the theme, And tonight's theme is clown shoes. So the strangest beer that I could get from Clown Shoes is their Chocolate Sombrero Mexican Style Chocolate Stout. And this is 9%. And it sure sounds good. What do you know about this one, Phil?
So Chocolate Sombrero, this is one of my favorite beers. Whenever I do a festival, I like to have this, especially if the festival starts early. This pairs well with bacon. Any Ooh. Kind of meats Ooh. In general. I mean, bacon goes with anything, but this is a chocolate stout. There's actually no chocolate in there. This is chocolate bitterness from the roasted malts. You got some cinnamon in there, a little bit of vanilla, some nutmeg, and then we have some ancho chilies. We also do some variations in California. I don't know if some of you guys saw the tequila sombrero that's been out in the last few weeks.
No.
That was California only, so it was aged in tequila barrels, about 10%. Super delicious. I got to be honest with you. I drank it all during San Francisco Beer Week because I had a bunch of events and they all bought kegs of it. So that was great. But dude, so we have another variation that we're bringing back is the Luchador en Fuego, which is the bourbon barrel version also. And we haven't done that for a year. So that'll be coming out middle of next month. So be on the lookout for that. But this beer overall, it's super solid. I mean, it's got the smokes, you know, smell, but it's not overly peated malts. It has a little bit of the bitterness that makes it taste like dark chocolate. And those chilies, you're not going to taste them that much. There's a little heat, but later on, like maybe about 20 minutes from now, you might burp up something that has a little heat. And you'd be like, oh yeah, that was that beer I drank. I'm going to pop one with you guys, dude. So I got one too.
All right. So yeah, this is a really dark brown beer.
I should have just got it off tap. I forgot I have this on tap.
Nice.
You do get those roasted malt smell and a little smokiness.
There's a quite a bit of head, about a finger of head, and then there's also a lot of carbonation on this beer as well.
The first thing I picked on before even Phil even mentioned it, cinnamon was very upfront for me. Cinnamon.
Yeah, there is a cinnamon thing going on there. I do get like my first sip, I got like the ancho chili. I could taste it.
Okay.
It's not hot. It's just the flavor.
Not hot. No. And it's funny. I was working with that yesterday cooking food. So it's like, it's fresh in my mind. But after having a few sips, it really, you can hardly taste it at all. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that dryness you get from like chili powder though, that comes with that. But it really works. And you know, people don't realize that in most chocolate stouts, there's actually no chocolate in them.
Correct.
You could fool anybody with this beer. You really could.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing about beer. All these beers we try, we say, "Oh, it tastes like apricot," but there's no apricot in it, you know. Or it tastes like chocolate. There's no chocolate in it. It's amazing, just based on the ingredients that go into beer: roasted malt, barley, you know, hops. But there's the combination of just these couple ingredients lend to all these different flavors.
Yeah, and you go and you look at different yeast strains, and I mean, it's like, my goodness, the way these yeasts interact with the sugars and the fermentation, like what happens during that process and what temperature it happens at. I mean, you're getting so many varieties, and it's always amazing to see these brewers pull off these amazing complex flavors based upon a few ingredients.
Yeah, they're pretty much mad scientists.
Hey, Phil, I have a question for you. You brought up that there's a version of this that's only available in California. And I think with Clown Shoes, there's several versions of their beers that are only available in certain states. Like there's a beer that's only in Texas, New Jersey. We had one recently from Ohio.
Last week we had the Ohio Unidragon.
Yeah, I believe that one's made because their ABV laws are pretty strict. So I think we had to get it just a little under what our normal barrel aged version would be. Texas, some of those beers we use locally sourced ingredients. There's one that celebrates Josh the Revelator. The guy's an awesome rep for Favorite Brands down there, our distributor, and he just kills it down in Houston. So we made a beer, you know, to celebrate him and how much beer he sells for us. I have a beer in California called Photos for Phil, single IPA. Citra hops, 2-row Pilsner malt only, so it's totally California IPA. We have the Tequila Sombrero. We have another beer that we're going to do for California. I mean, on the East Coast, there's an endless amount, like, not endless, but you know what I mean? Like, there's so many variations. We like to celebrate our states, you know, and each one according to their market and kind of, use local stuff if we can, and just, you know, make everything fun, because the whole thing, like, dude, this is beer. You know, we're not curing cancer. You know, I don't mean to be harsh. We're not doing, you know, rocket science. We're doing beer, man.
Yeah. Beer,
you know?
Beer might cure cancer.
But the best thing about all that is you guys do what you want, and that's what I like.
Yeah, I mean, there's business involved, but the whole thing is we're not about pretenses. We're a super humble company that just loves to have a good time. I'm out there, you know, drinking with other brewers, drinking with other breweries. You know, we all appreciate the craft of the beer. You know, our owner started off literally, you know, running a liquor store with his father. You know what I mean? And so, like, the appreciation has always been there where the craft comes from, because everyone knows, like, you know, this is a business that puts, you know, food in our mouth, but this is also, like, it's a great time, and this is the best time to be a part of beer.
You can tell the people who work at the company are pretty awesome when you have beers named Luchador and Fuego and Undead Party Crasher. Like, you just kind of know that, like, there's cool people that work there.
Dude, and just the art, you know, alone also, you know, let me give a little bit of props to our artist. You know, Michael AXT, you can look him up on Facebook. You know, he loves attention. Not really.
Well, I was going to ask that.
But dude, he's seriously, you know, he can take our owner's ideas and translate them into these labels that people walk by and they're, you know, what's in the bottle is already awesome. We know that. We wouldn't have bottled if it wasn't like that. That's how we feel, you know. But the labels just set it off and just really provide, you know, a tone for our beer and what we're about. We're just good times, fun, and, you know, whimsical stuff somewhat. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're serious, but we're not that serious.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing about it, the bottle just stands out on the shelf. Like, I've been, the last 2 weeks, I've been accumulating every Clown Shoes beer, and I'm in the Total Wine & More, their organization is terrible on the shelves. Yes. So I have to look through everything. Yeah, by style. But then I'm looking, and then, you know, I can pick out a Clown Shoes beer without even knowing what I'm looking for.
I was telling Andy on the break that the muffin top artwork makes me laugh really hard, because that's like, since Joel and I got married, that's like me and Joel on the beach now.
Dude, you know, hey, that's all of us, you know. I'm not going to lie, dude. I got some handles. But,
so do we.
You have to, as a beer drinker.
If you enjoy beer, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lifestyle choice, right? That's where we're here, dude.
But totally. I was Googling, there's some controversy on the labels, like the lubrication.
Well, dude, you know, some of that is like, you know, so the whole reason we started was because of the Beer Advocate kind of thing, right? So they've always kind of had a little thing going back and forth with us. And some of that stuff is so super unwarranted. Like lubrication, you know, it's a robot at a gas station. Like, what's controversial about a robot? You know what I mean? Like,
right. I mean, they were making something out of nothing. Like the robot is holding a gas pump and it's maybe slightly phallic. I don't know.
Well, sometimes people are just looking for it. Like, kinda,
yeah.
You know, take, you know, Undead Party Crusher, right? Or Smoked Milk Stout. If you look at it's called Undead Party Crusher now. It has an awesome label with all these different mythical beasts. It was originally our second anniversary beer, and it was called Vampire Slayer, right? And some company tried to call us up and sue us and say that they own the patent on vampires and alcohol, which is totally untrue. But we're not going to fight you, dude. We're going to tell you to kick rocks, and we got a better label. And the beer is year-round now.
Yeah, you got an even better name now.
That's such a great name, yeah.
It's on the back of my car, dude. I have actually the logo on the back of my car, dude.
Well, I think a few of the labels are a little provocative, but that's okay, because I think most of the – I don't know if it's most or all of them are – you know, it's a woman who designs these. They're a little provocative.
Well, there was a woman. Now it's Michael. But the whole thing is, like, all the controversial labels are actually gone now. So Muffin Top, Tramp Stamp, those are gone. All the rest of them, those were like one-offs or seasonals.
Bring Tramp Stamp back.
It's all about American Monastic. I'm going to be honest with you. Once you taste American Monastic, you'll be sold on that even more than Tramp Stamp and Muffin Top.
I don't care about the beer. I want the label.
I probably can get you a roll of labels, and you can just wallpaper a wall.
No, he will. He will.
I'll get that tattooed on the bottom of my back.
Andy's the next model.
I got, you know, semi-permanent tattoos. You can go ahead and put those anywhere.
Nice.
Incoming transmission.
You've got mail.
All right, well, comments this week. I'll just do three quick ones. Steve Zubar from Rhode Island agreed with Jeff and liked Stone's 2.14.16 Enjoy By Unfiltered IPA. this podcast comes out on the 16th, so by the time you hear this, if you see that beer, it's already past its prime. So
it's 2 days old.
Don't bother. WVCC Golf 1. Wow. We're assuming that stands for Willamette Valley Country Club, which is south of Portland.
Yep.
He commented on Hogsback Oatmeal Stout from Mount Hood Brewing Company in Government Camp, Oregon. And he said, hey, I had this beer over the holidays at Timberline Lodge. Hands down the best dark stout I've ever had. Now, where can I find this outside of Government Camp? Government Camp is a very small little town. Well, our crack squad of researchers here at Beer of the Day have figured this out. And the stout is available on tap at Tabber Tavern, 5325 Burnside, East Portland.
Hey, we've been past that.
Yeah. The Pine Shed Ribs in Lake Oswego. And at the Delta Airlines VIP Lounge at PDX Airport. So, WCC Golf 1, that's where you can find it.
Got to get it in the airport.
Make sure you check out the carpet while you're there.
It's already gone.
Yeah. Oh, is it really? Damn it.
Yeah, but that particular beer he mentioned, the Hogsback Oatmeal Stout, was voted the best of the Northwest 2015 in the best stout category. So if you happen to be in one of those locations like the PDX Airport VIP Lounge, then...
Delta.
Delta only.
Delta, yeah.
You guys will be flying Delta, guys.
Anyway, next beer.
Let's do it.
Beer.
We have...
Don't twist my arm.
This is the Hoppy Feet Black IPA.
All right.
7%.
So I just want to let you guys... This would be another beer. Dude, we're drinking the last of it. Mm-hmm. This is the last of this beer. This is our flagship beer. This is what we started off with. Literally, after that, you know... Our owner did not win the contest. This is the beer that he had made, and it's a black IPA, which, you know, it's one of my favorite styles. It started off on stouts, so I like that it blends the IPA and the stout together. It's got, you know, Amarillo hops, some Columbus hops. It gives you the grapefruit, a little bit of the pine, but you get a little of the nuttiness and the dark chocolate from the smoky malts. And this is the end of this, guys. We might do one-offs of some of the Black IPA 2.0, you know, we have the Hoppy Feet 2.0 every once in a while, but this is it, man.
All right. Well, it's good we got to have it while we could.
Why do we need to? We don't need to cry on this show.
But I'm surprised that...
I want to. I'm not going to lie.
We've had this multiple times
in
Sacramento on tap, and this is something that we really enjoy.
Yeah.
Dude,
I'm surprised.
It's crazy.
Go ahead.
I think it's crazy because the black IPA market just is, you know, it shrinks and it grows depending on the consumer. And it just seems like the consumer is just not really into it right now.
I can honestly say I've never had a black IPA. I love this. Why do I have to find it when it's leaving?
This is a kind of, in my mind, a kind of bitter beer, which I would not expect Steve to like. It's got like the burnt flavors. To me, I just had two sips, and it has a lot of porter-like characteristics, mm-hmm. And I normally don't like black IPAs, mm-hmm. but this is pretty good, but it tastes a little bit like a porter. I don't get much citrus, but I get a lot of pine, but I think it's interesting that this is the flagship beer. Like, a black IPA is not something that I would normally consider to be a flagship beer of any brewery, so I find that interesting that is kind of the flagship beer.
Yeah, that's one of the weird things is, you know, we started off on that reason of like, dude, like, we're going to do whatever. And to be retired this year, it's kind of, you know, bittersweet. But I can assure you there'll be some one-offs that are going to be really good. So
can you tell us a little bit, like, I've never had these, but I saw on your website there was a Hoppy Feet 1.5 and a 2.0. What's kind of the difference between these and that?
So the other ones are about 10%. Basically, the Hoppy Feet 1.5 and also the 2.0, both 10%. So they're basically, they up the ABV, so the malt bill goes a little bit higher, a little bit drier, but the characteristics are pretty similar. If you can find a Hoppy Feet 1.5 or 2.0 just sitting somewhere, drink it, buy it. It's like a black barley wine. It's delicious, dude. Like, they sit super well. It's 10%. Anything over 10%, I'm always into aging just to see what happens. You know what I mean? The alcohol at that point, usually to me, You know, some of the hop characteristics are going to fall off and these different things, but it seems like everything kind of forms into something way different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Especially when it's a IPA, the hop dies out, you know, that, and then, yeah. but the malt takes over, but a lot of times it settles down into, you know, and becomes less harsh, and it's usually an interesting beer to try.
Yeah.
And trying them side by side also is an interesting experiment.
So for me, like, I like this beer, and I generally like black IPAs. It compares favorably to Midnight Hoppiness from Knee Deep. It's not as hoppy. It's definitely has more kind of a smoky characteristic to it than the Midnight Hoppiness that Knee Deep makes. But, you know, I enjoy it. It's a good beer.
It lends a lot more of the stout qualities than most black IPAs do. And I think that's a good thing, because you get these black IPAs that taste like a regular IPA, and it's kind of like, well, what's the point? Yeah. You know,
this one has a fair amount of smoke, which really gives it a complex character.
Steve and I have the same, I think in general, we have pretty similar tastes in beer, and I can see why you would like this. I like it too. The thing that's throwing me for a loop is I don't know if I've ever had a hoppy beer that's also smoky, and I like that.
Jeff made the statement that I don't generally like bitter beers, and I wouldn't say I'm fine with bitterness. I don't like the overly hop in your face, those real bitter hops.
There's the bitterness on the end that aftertaste, like when it lingers for 30 seconds, that's the kind that I don't like. I think you don't like that either, but this is good.
Yeah. The smokiness and this, that little, I mean, I would even say it's semi-sweet. It's a little tiny bit of sweetness in it that I think really lends itself very well to the balance and the complexity that it's really good.
So I think probably what you're saying here is, so on the Galactica IPA, it had a strong sweet malt backbone that balanced out the hops. And then this one here has a kind of a smoky, really dark malt backbone that is balancing out the hops also. So it's two different, light versus dark, but it's the same type of thing that's happening.
Yep.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, to testify what you guys are saying too, is basically the bitterness from the roasted malts gets rounded out by the citrus qualities of the hops that are involved in the in the process. Does that make sense to you?
And to me, I can just barely pick up on the, you know, any of those citrus notes. I mean, it's there, but it's so subtle.
It just adds like a sweetness, kind of, you know what I mean? Like to round it out, I think, on my end.
Very well done.
I think I get the hops in the aroma. If you smell it, I get some hops in this.
Yes.
And I get the hops on the finish. And, you know, hops don't have to be bitter, but I get some bitter. Some people like bitter hops. I get bitter hops on the finish. But in the taste of this beer, I get mostly the dark roasted malt. And, you know, it's partly because this is an East Coast style beer. But I enjoy this. I mean, the taste kind of grows on me. The first couple sips were okay, and as I have 3, 4, 5 sips, I like this beer a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. You have to apply the 3-sip rule when transitioning to this, because it's a little different than all the beers we've had previously.
I think the 3-sip rule is pretty, it's a good rule.
We got to patent that, Andy.
Yeah, dude, I watched one of your episodes. I think that's a good idea.
It three is.
Sips. Andy's 3-sip rule.
I'm going to start making
legit
T-shirts.
I'm in, man. 3 sips, dude.
All right, well, let's kick it into high gear now. The muffin top.
Muffin top.
Hit the double digits.
It'll get all you right drunk.
Now, this is where, just so you know, me being by myself, I have all these beers.
And no one knows how much he's drinking, guys. He's not showing the lap. He could be spitting it out. No, I'm just kidding. I've seen him swallow.
We've all seen him
do that.
The first time we ever did a show with him, Phil, he drank all of every beer, and it was a Belgian all show. So, I mean, the beers were 10, 11, 12%, and he was just blitzed by the end of it.
He drank very many of all of them.
Yeah.
All right, I've learned to control things a bit.
Hey, we're all a work in progress, right?
That's right.
So, Muffin Top, we just actually got new artwork for this, and it sucks. Again, we're retiring this. We're making Tramp Stamp Muffin Top, American Monastic, coming on the shelves at the end of the month. You guys are going to be stoked on it, I assure you. It's super clean malt bill. But this one, it's basically a hoppy Belgian style triple slash triple IPA, right? So 10%. Muffin top basically is like a triple with all these, it's Chambly yeast again, but it has American hops. So instead of having like foreign hops, it's all American hops. It's available. It was available year round, but now this is the end. Again, we're coming to a close on some of these beers and we're turning a new page because Clown Shoes is moving forward. Our sixth year, you know, we're really trying to do some big things. We have a lot of barrel aged beers. Like you guys are talking about the state specific beers. A lot of those are special barrel aged beers. You know what I mean? Right. Like we had Rex, the Imperial barrel aged red ale. I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to have that.
No.
So it's bourbon barrel aged red ale. The label actually ended up on, I want to say the Chives. We had two labels that ended up on the Chives best labels of, you know, 2015. That was nice. One of them. It has a dinosaur. The beer, I think it has the most barrel characteristic because reds tend to lend themselves to have basically more of a simplified malt bill and all that stuff. It's not overly hoppy, all that stuff. So the barrel just really took over on that one. We just had Flight of the Angry Beast, which every year we blend like Blakehorn Unidragon and Undead Party Crasher and another beer, or maybe two of the same in different barrels. This year we did the barley wine and scotch. We did Blakehorn Unidragon and scotch, and then we did Undead Party Crasher and bourbon. We blended those together. So, you know, like Luchador and Fuego, Chocolate Sombrero and bourbon. Dude, we're really into aging beers and barrels. So
you're doing some barrel-aged stuff. So the one thing that you've talked about, I haven't heard anything about sours. So a lot of barrel-aged breweries do a lot of sours as well, or at least try a couple on the side. Do you guys anticipate doing any sours in the future?
So since we are a gypsy brewery, we don't have we do all our barrel aging in our warehouse. So all of the barrels are in our warehouse. We take care of all that. We cooper ourselves, all that stuff. But if you sour, you want to have that separate, in other words. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, separate building, yeah, for sure.
And since we don't have, 15 facilities for storage, we're going to actually experiment with some sour mashes, which is basically you'll sour the mash, and then after it's soured to the point that you want it to, then you basically boil it all, and that inoculates it.
Nice. Right.
So it's a little safer, and it doesn't affect equipment, so that's kind of more of what we're trying to look at right now until we get our own facility set up, and we're working on different stuff. But you know, we don't want to mess up anyone else's facilities. Let's just say that.
Certainly.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like we were talking about Russian River earlier, they separate their sours in a completely different facility because you know that one little strain gets in and it can screw up everything. So have it completely separate facilities for that.
It's, dude, it's serious business. I'm going to be honest with you, dude. Like you know, I've been to the brewery's barrel system, the first barrel site that they had. And you wouldn't believe the separation that they had, you know, all the plastic stuff that comes down,
yeah,
like those things, but then sideways too, just to make sure, you know, like everything is kind of, you know, separated as much. And you could smell the vinegar all the way outside of that building because, you know, it's serious business. Like you know, the beer is sensitive. It's very sensitive. It's sanitation. And once you introduce some of these bacterias, you can't get rid of them. So
that's right.
Wow. Well, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm really excited to talk about this beer. Double IPA. I was like, I'm not going to like it.
Triple
IPA.
Triple.
And the first thing I noticed was the head on it was just this nice, thick, foamy head. And then I put my nose in there and right away I was like, I'm not going to like it. It's so hop forward. And then I tasted it. I could not believe how sweet it was when I tasted it.
It's very
sweet.
I was
like, oh my gosh, this is really good.
Well, to get that 10% alcohol, you know, you're just loading it with sugar.
Yeah.
From the malt. It does have, it's funny, if we had tasted the Clementine, the Tramp Stamp, and the Muffin Top in that order, you could taste from one to the next the progression in the beer. Because
you would.
They're very similar. You all use the same yeast, and there's a very distinct flavor to that yeast that you don't get in any of the other beers or any other beer, you know.
It is distinct.
And I really enjoy this set of beers. Too bad we're losing two of them. But I would say, you know, the Clementine is one. That one's staying around, right?
Oh, for sure. And it's going in a six-pack. It's actually going to be a better price for everyone. And I guarantee you, when you taste American Monastic, you're going to like it. And, you know, you'll realize, you know, we're a company that has to make decisions. You know, we do, this is, you know, we get emails from people all around the world and all these different things happen. You get on these lists a couple times and the owner, you know, our owner takes that stuff to heart. You know, he's a serious guy, you know, as much fun, dude. We're not out to offend anyone or any of that kind of stuff. Right. We're out to have a good time. And so if it takes us making the decision, you know, to kind of retire those beers and merge them into another one, and just have a good time. American Monastic, like, we're going to change that label a lot of times because American Monastic's, you know, it's a symbol that can be like in any state. You know what I mean? Like, we can do some crazy stuff with that beer. So we're really actually kind of stoked just to move forward. You know what I mean? But these beers, super solid, and we've made, you know, we've had a good run with these beers, and we're much appreciated, dude, for all the love.
I think as a business, that's so responsible that if you're getting some kind of negative feedback on the, like you said, misogynistic aspects of them, that you guys make that decision to, you know, to retire those beers. I mean, I think me personally, I'd be like, no, this is my beer. It's a great beer. You know, get a sense of humor, you know, like, we're not misogynistic. We're just having a good time. Like you said, we're just, you know, good people. But I think that from a business standpoint, that's...
look at that.
Like, dude, we understand, like, everyone is not our customer. Yeah. We understand. But at the same time, you know, we have moms, sisters, you know what I mean? Like, wives, all that stuff. Like, we respect that. And so if someone sends us a letter that just kind of hit us in the heart to where we're like, you know what? Like, that's cool. You know, and we move on.
Yeah, very, very responsible. I mean, just very, you know.
Dang, people need to lighten up, though.
People,
man,
need to lighten up, but at the same point.
But dude, trust me, we have so much fun in all our other beers. Yeah, like, yeah. It's like. Like, come on, like, look at the rest of our lineup, dude. I could line up a party with all those names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I literally have a clown, a female clown that swallows swords that comes to some of us.
Is that what you call it?
Yes.
You know, crazy.
Where do I get one of those?
It definitely seems like a fun place to work and a fun brewery.
Yeah, I'm super blessed. I'm going to be honest with you. We just have a great time. And there's only like 7 of us that actually work for the company. So it's super small.
Wow.
You know, like I said, I do a lot of territory, dude. Yeah. I'm constantly shine a light and I show up.
That's right.
The one thing that strikes me about this Muffin Top is I get a grapefruit sourness in the aftertaste.
Yeah.
And
me too.
I wasn't expecting that because when initially Steve was like, oh, it's so sweet. I hadn't taken a sip yet. But you get some of that, but then I get this kind of a citrus grapefruit sourness in the aftertaste, which is kind of nice.
I didn't mean to imply overly sweet. I mean, I think it's nicely balanced sweetness to it, but there is a little in the Clementine and the Tramp Stamp, there's orange zest, and you can tell there's orange zest. And this one, it's like there's an orange in there. I mean, there's more fruit flavor where you get
that fruit sweetness.
It comes
from the hops.
Yeah.
You know, the hops, like what he's tasting is more of the bitterness and the hops. What you're tasting is actually more of the malt bill. You know what I mean? Like two different palates, you know what I mean? Tasting different things in the beer. It's just you guys have different accentuating palates, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everybody's got a different palate. I think there's a little bit of...
It's all valid.
Like, there's a little bit of Belgian, like candy sugar in here. But sure. I agree with Dallas. I mean, to me, the most overwhelming flavor is like grapefruit, lemon, maybe a little mango, but some like citrus for sure. And a little tartness. I mean, I go back to like some of the, I think the Clementine was a little tart to me. This has some tartness too. Not a lot, but it's slight, but there's some tartness on the finish.
Yeah. Different people interpret it like the hops different and the malt's different. You know what I mean? Like people are more sensitive to different things depending on what you eat. All these different things that you've been exposed to in your tongue, you know what I mean? That's how it works.
It's all valid,
though, you know?
That's exactly right. All right, well, let's move into the final beer of the night. This is the Blakehorn Unidragon.
Wait, final beer of this podcast, not of the night. Let's be clear. Okay,
I
know you guys are drinking after I leave.
Yeah.
This is where I get drunk, 7th beer by myself.
I mean, I've got a space cake and a couple of undead party crashers in the fridge. So.
Ton of beer,
and I brought a keg from my house, so we're good.
What did you brew?
So I brewed a single hop Citra IPA, basically with Andy.
Nice.
So Andy and I brewed a beer together about 3 weeks ago. It's super fresh, but it's gonna be fun.
It's Super Bowl weekend, so we're gonna drink it anyway.
Yeah, we didn't bottle or keg condition it. We're just like, we're kind of lazy. Let's just drink it. We'll figure it out.
Force carb the hell out of that, right?
That's right. Yeah, we force carbureted. Force carbureted. Nice, dude.
And really, I just want them to drink it so that we can brew my porter.
Yeah, so Brittany's nice.
Just gonna be honest.
It's like free up space, dude. I just need space.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's your sixth
match. It's a never ending battle. What? And that's our brand is a lot of home brewers, you know, like all us employees pretty much brew, you know what I mean, on our own. And so we all have input on some of these different recipes, you know what I mean? And so, dude, I'm telling you, just keep at it. Just keep doing it. It's worth it. It's always worth it.
Yeah. I think it gives you an appreciation for the beer too, because when you, like, Joel's asking questions like, oh, what yeast did you use there? And, you know, he's trying to get some insights, and you kind of, you know, get a feel for what went into making that particular beer. And so having that, a little bit of a brewing background actually kind of gives you more insight into your beer drinking.
Dude, you know what I trip out on the most? Who cleans how? That's what you got to worry about. You got to clean. Sanitation.
Yeah.
That's the thing I stress the most is just like, when I watch someone clean something, oh, you cleaned it like that? I would do it like this.
I just let my
That is my life. That's my whole life right there.
I just let my dog lick everything clean and call it good.
I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to get some funky beers. Nah, you might not be able to recreate each one.
Hey, so far we haven't had an off beer, as far as that goes.
We've done seven. We've done seven so far. We haven't had anyone that's turned sour or gotten any kind of
bacteria. That's awesome, bro. That says you're doing something right, dude. So,
yeah.
All right, last beer, dude. I'm sad to say goodbye. All right, but let's get to it.
So this is our second Unidragon we've had in the last like 4 or 5 weeks, right?
We did the Ohio one last
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks, yeah.
So this beer is it's insane. This is our Russian Imperial Stout, and this is year round, always available, draft bottles. It's 12.5%. So that says something right there, right? But this is pretty much one of the most bitter stouts that there is out there. This is like around 80 IBUs. Most stouts are pretty low in the IBUs. That's why the roasted malts and the bitterness from the hops literally transcend into like a chocolate flavor. Again, there's no chocolate in there, just smokiness. But it's subtle, and there's a lot of rich, dark, you know, malts, dude.
Yeah.
This beer goes great with steak, dude. If you pour this on a steak, I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to go well, dude.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a hard time with a new beer drinker trying this beer, but someone who's had a lot of experience drinking beer is going to appreciate this style. But someone who's straight off of the street is the first the first craft beer you give them, they're going to have a hard time with it just because it has a lot of sweet and malt, and it's intense, and it's got a lot of hops to it. But overall, I mean, it is complicated, it's balanced, and the sugar plays well to the hops.
It's dark.
This is a craft beer mugging.
Exactly.
There's something in the nose that's like a graham cracker or something. I'm trying to pick up something in there that
there's some toasted kind of malts in there too that are lighter, so you're gonna get some personal malts in there, some carafa. This beer is insane, dude. Honestly, I'll drink these. If I just want to literally get buzzed, I'll drink one of these and I'm done, dude. That's it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go any further. I'll just drink one to the head.
This one reminds me a little bit of Ballast Point's Victory at Sea, except more refined without the coffee. So Victory at Sea is pretty harsh. It's pretty boozy, and
it's got that aftertaste.
Yeah. Like what I wish Victory at Sea would have been, right? So this is like much more refined and
They're both no joke.
Yeah,
they don't hold back. They are gonna be big and bold and dark and rustic, and
I'll keep talking,
but this one's better.
But I think with this one that I get so much like wood and oak.
Yes,
yeah, you do.
that's from the killing of the malts mostly. There's no wood or oak. This is a straight Russian Imperial Stout. This is just our biggest beer that we make, and it's not aged on anything. We do all the barrel age versions of this, you know, for Texas. Like I said, there's the Texas Unidragon. There's the good, the bad, and the Unidragon. You know what I mean? So we have, you know, all these different ones. They're, you know, the Very Angry Beast, the Extremely Angry Beast, the Flight of the Angry Beast. They all contain this beer in their aged in different barrels. It translates, like, we put this in any barrel and it just comes out insane, dude. This
but
beer
if I tried
is
this
crazy.
If I had this in like a blind taste, I would think this was barrel aged, not a lot, like maybe six, like 3 or 4, maybe 5 months.
Right.
I taste barrel age in this,
and
even though it's not.
And you almost taste, yeah, you almost taste bourbon barrel aged as well, just because, yeah, it's, just because it got so much of that alcohol up front.
Yeah,
yeah. If you told me this was bourbon barrel aged, I would not disagree in any way. I'd be like, yeah, I can even taste a little bit of bourbon in there. There's
dude,
a little.
That credit goes to our maltster, you know, the person that kilns all our malts, dude. They're doing a great job and just making good smoky roasted malts that give you that characteristic.
Yeah,
smoky
very
roast.
Robust.
Smoky roast, I think, is
yeah, it's
a good descriptor
for sure. All right, well, let's Andy, you want to recap the beers that we've had tonight, and then we're gonna try and figure out what each of our favorite beers of the day are.
Okay, so we started off with the Clementine White Ale, then we moved on to the Tramp Stamp Belgian IPA, then the Galactica IPA. Then we came back with our strange brew, the Chocolate Sombrero Mexican Style Chocolate Stout. We had the Hoppy Feet Black IPA, the Muffin Top Belgian Triple IPA, and the Blakehorn Unidragon Russian Imperial Stout.
Nice. Thank you for that.
You had all the bottles, right?
Thank you for that bottle
awesome
recap there, Phil.
That was crazy awesome.
Phil is
holding up. I got all the bottles that I had. Yeah. I tried to keep up.
That was good. Nice.
All right. Who has the pin? Let's spin the wheel and figure out who's going to go first.
It's not a pen, it's a wheel.
Okay, so
hold on.
We gotta wait for the wheel to finish. We don't know who it's gonna be yet.
The suspense is building.
I'm so excited.
Hey.
Oh, Destiny.
It's Joel.
All right, so everything that had the Chambly yeast I was in love with. So I mean, great Belgian beers. I mean, you compare this to some of the other Belgians that we've had here, and I'm really blown away. So I'm gonna go with the Clementine, just because it's just a beer that you can drink all day long, and I really like that Chambly yeast.
Brandon.
Okay, for me, I was very surprised by the Clementine as well. I'm not generally a white ale drinker, but I thought that was delicious, and I could have drank a lot of them. But for my beer of the day, I'm going to have to go with the Chocolate Sombrero, the Chocolate Stout.
They were all great. Thanks for coming on, Phil. You guys doing good stuff over there.
Dude, thank you, man.
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but my toss-up is between the Muffin Top and the Hoppy Feet.
The
IPAs that I never...
Your palate is becoming so much more refined these days.
It might be. I think I'm actually going to choose the Muffin Top. Now, oh, man, it's just the...
what?
It was so well balanced to me. I loved it.
All right.
Okay, well, I am going to... Man, this is tough. Whew. I am going to go with the Muffin Top also. I don't think I've ever had a triple IPA that... Triple R-I-P-L-E that's also triple, Belgian triple. You know, going both ways on the triple thing. And it had that sour quality that I just really enjoyed too. So this beer had so many different aspects to it that it was so complex. I have to choose Muffin Top.
Me?
Phil.
Phil's turn. What was your...
Me?
So yeah, your favorite beer of that you had tonight. This is not your favorite Clown Shoes beer of all time. This is just the one you had tonight that you appreciated the most.
All right, well, I drank a lot of beers tonight. I'm not going to lie. Before I was on, I was over at Rip Brewery down the street. And they had some great beers. So I had Neltra. That was a great beer. Then I came here and I drank Prairie Bomb Barrel Aged, bourbon barrel aged in whiskey barrels. That was a delicious beer. And then I drank all these Clown Shoes beers. And I got to be honest with you, my favorite beer of the night, again, I love Hoppy Feet. It's so such a bummer that we have to, it's not that we have to, but we're retiring for a little while. What the real deal is we have to basically free up some tank space because we have a new red IPA called Evil Crawfish. I don't know if you guys have seen that yet.
Nope.
It's super hoppy. It's got 5 hops in there. It's about 9%. I think it rivals Space Cake on the bitterness. And so, you know, black IPA, I love it, but you know, Evil Crawfish is coming through. So Hoppy Feet is my beer of the night.
Nice. Sounds like I need to try it.
I didn't advertise too much.
I know. I want to try it.
Jeff, your turn.
All right. So for me, it came down to a couple beers. Really, my two highest rated beers were either the Galactica IPA or the Chocolate Sombrero. So my beer of the day was the Galactica. You know, it's got the galaxy hops that I really enjoyed. I thought this beer had the right citrus and pine hop flavor. It was also a little malty. It was so well balanced, 8%. Technically a double IPA. I liked the carbonation. It was a little low on the carbonation, which I liked. It had a good sweet finish, kind of a brown sugar finish, a little bready, a little honey flavors. I thought that was a delicious IPA, which I normally go to anyway. But for me, drinking a lot of West Coast IPAs, I really appreciated the Galactica. So I'm going with Galactica as my beer of the day.
I like everything you said there.
I so badly want to start a campaign for Save the Tramp Stamp. But that's not my beer. You know, it is an excellent beer. I'm going to go with, you know, Clown Shoes beers. They're all great. The Chocolate Sombrero, that's just amazing beer. It really is. But instead of picking out of all these beers that are really off the wall, I'm going to go with the one that if Clown Shoes put this out in a 12-pack, 24-pack, I would buy it all the time. It would be in my fridge all the time. And that's the Clementine White Ale. Wow. That beer is so drinkable that if you guys mass produce that thing, it would sell like crazy.
Dude, that says a lot, dude. We really appreciate that. Thank you.
So I haven't had that much experience with Clown Shoes beer, and I am so glad that I did this podcast because now I've had a bunch. I agree with everything everyone said about the Clementine White Ale. I think that was really good. That's up my alley. You guys know that is like my taste. I would drink that all the time. The Hoppy Feet Black IPA I really liked as well. But surprisingly enough, I'm going to go with the Galactica IPA as my beer of the day. It's the one that I was most glad that I had because I don't like IPAs. And so I feel like I have finally found an IPA that I could drink all the time. Everything that Jeff said was spot on. It's well balanced. It's malty and it's hoppy. I really liked how honey forward it was. It's got sweetness on the end. It's everything that I think I would look for in an IPA. So that's my beer of the day.
I think that says something. I mean, everybody had, this has got to be one of our more varietal.
The parity is crazy. So we did 7 beers, 5 of them got votes, and then 3 of them tied for first place.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's quite a distribution.
It is.
Wow.
It just speaks to the quality of the beers tonight.
It does.
They're all good. Yeah.
Dude, we appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, well, that's going to close out our Clown Shoes show. But we thank you for tuning in, and we especially want to thank Phil Thomas for joining us tonight. Yeah.
Thanks for coming out.
Please, thanks,
Phil. Thank you, Phil. Awesome guy.
Are the man, for sure. That was great. All right, we'll see you next time. If you enjoy this podcast and want to follow us on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/TheBeerOfTheDay. We're on Twitter at Beer of the Day and on Instagram at Beer of the Day site. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Britton and Joel Miner, Brandon Hofer, Steve Williamson, I'm Dallas Elliker. You've been listening to the Beer of the Day podcast.